I usually don't need a mic when I get to preaching because God does the amplifying. I'm just a loudspeaker. I come to you today with a message God put on my heart. I preached along these lines before, and I got to praying, and I said, Lord, I've preached that before, and it's kind of a rerun. He said, son, every message you ever preach is a rerun. I preached them long before you did. And I got to thinking, as I studied for the last 2 months on this message, about John the Baptist when he was down there baptizing, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to him, and John looked at him and said, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You see, the Pharisees were the keepers of the law, and they thought by doing that, their righteousness was going to get them to heaven. The Sadducees, they didn't believe in a resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. But we know we got a home in heaven waiting for us. And I'm looking forward to that. But you know, we're living in the days, in the last days, whether you want to agree or not, I believe Jesus could come while we're sitting in this service today. And the Bible said he'll step 1 foot on land and 1 foot on sea and declare time to be no more. If there was ever a time God's people need to be trying to reach their loved ones, it's now. You know, there's signs everywhere you look. You get out here on the road and run a stop sign and you're going to get paid for it. There's paydays. I preached that message one time in a revival. Payday someday. You know, that sign says stop, and if you don't stop and there's a cop around, you'll get rewarded for it. A lot of times they'll say, you have the right to remain silent. Everything you say can and will be used against you. I always said that ought to be a marriage vow. I know I'll get beat up when I get home, but I'm having fun right now. As we're speaking right now, there's a telescope that they call the Hubble telescope, and there's scientists from all over the world meeting at this place right now as we speak. They've looked into space thousands of miles away with this telescope, and there's a meteor that's on the path to come to the Earth. Unless something changes, this meteor, they said, is so big, when it makes contact with the Earth, it's going to cause earthquakes all over the world. You remember what Jesus said? One of his signs was there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. That in turn, with these earthquakes all over, they said that these earthquakes will set off volcanoes. There's a huge volcano in Yellowstone Park. There's two or three around the United States. There's one in Hawaii. There's ones all over the world. These earthquakes and these hurricanes are so ravishing that there's no place you're going to be able to hide. The Bible said in 2 Peter 3, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Stop and think about that today, people. Part of my message today was when Lot was down in Sodom and Gomorrah, him and Abraham had split off, and he and his family ended up down in Sodom. And you talk about a sinful place. Brother, the Bible said God sent two angels down, said, you get Lot and his family out of there and tell them, what I've seen about this thing, I don't want to see no more. I'm doing it. I'm going to do away with it. I'm going to burn it to the ground. You know, when God makes a vow, he sticks with it. I've heard people say, well, there have been times God changed his mind. No, God don't change his mind. Right. Everything in this book that God said is going to happen is going to happen, people. It's time we woke up and seen that God's trying to warn us to get our families aboard. The Bible said God sent two angels down to warn Lot. And that city was so sinful. When these two angels showed up, These men come and said, where's these two that come to you tonight? We want to know them. Now, if any of you adults know what knowing means, you'll understand that they wasn't there to shake your hand. The Bible said Adam knew his wife, and they bore children. These men wanted to know these two men. We're living in that generation, people. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I lose a lot of friends, and I've got friends that's on the other side of the fence. I don't agree with their lifestyle, but I pray for them, and I try to witness to them. I try to tell them. My wife gets her hair done with a guy that's probably morally as nice as any guy you'll ever want to meet. But God's sending warnings, people, not to accept their lifestyle, but to love them beyond what we call love.
That's right.
I've got people in my family that when you mention these people, they kind of squirm. They don't want nothing to do with them. You know what? Your sins is no different in God's eyes than their sins was. And so we got to remember that today. I used to think, well, maybe I lie a little bit, or maybe I get out here and shouldn't do this, but it ain't as bad as that. Yes, it is. There's no degree in sin. You can look down on other people if you want to, but Jesus comes seeking to save them which was lost.
Amen.
The Bible said the great day of the Lord. Let me get my eyes on here. The great day of the Lord is his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? When this meteor hits the earth and these earthquakes and volcanoes start happening, people, I don't care where you run to. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. In those days they was eating and drinking and partying and not even thinking a thing about tomorrow. You know, sometimes we get wrapped up in everyday life, and you know, I seen online the other day something, and I had to bite my tongue to keep from saying something. A guy put on there and said, if money is the root of all evil, why does churches ask for it? That's not what the scripture says. The Bible said the root of all evil is the lust for money. Some people will do anything to get money, but there's a sign for that. And the Bible said, before him should gather all nations, and he'll divide them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goat. And you better pray that your family's not one of the goats, because it's everlasting too late. As God told Noah, told the angels to tell Lot to get out, because he was going to burn that city to the ground. They left that night. God said, don't look back. And as they was traveling to get away from the city, because those angels knew business, they knew what God said, Lot's wife turned and looked back. And the moment she did, she turned to stone. You know, there's a lot of people think, well, this is the reason and that's the reason. My opinion was Lot's wife left some of her family back there. And some of us sitting here today, if we don't get on fire for Jesus and start praying and start asking for our loved ones and start, you know, the Bible said to go and compel them to come in. You know what the word compel means? It means to literally beg them to come in. I remember I preached a revival at Fairview Baptist Church so many years ago. The last night of the revival, God put a message on my heart. I talked to the pastor early about this. God said to preach to the lost today. Pray for them. Warn them to flee from the wrath to come. And I preached, I looked around, and everybody in the congregation, I said, Lord, I've seen all these people testify to claim to know you. God said, give an altar call. As I asked everybody to bow their head and church praying, I said, for somebody here today that don't know Jesus and the free pardon of sin, I beg you. And I literally got down on my hands and knees in front of the pulpit and said, please come to Jesus before it's everlasting too late. And as I raised my head, there come my oldest daughter down the aisle, 10 years old, give her heart to Jesus. Brother, don't put no age limit on this thing. When God deals with them, that's their turn. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, how was it in those days? They was eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Everything seemed normal. Noah was a man of righteousness amongst a whole nation of ungodly people. You know, when you walk down the street, the next person you talk to might be the one that got... You know, there's no accidents, by the way. If somebody comes to you, it's because God put that thing together years ago. I remember one time when Jesus was on the mountain, he was preaching, he preached all day. And the disciples come to him and said, Lord, these people are hungry. We need to send them into town so they can get something to eat. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. If somebody come to you today and just said hello, give them something to eat. The Bible said, cast your bread upon the waters, and not many days hence it'll come back. You know what that bread is? The Word of God. Somebody comes to you, let them know you're praying for them. Ask them if you can pray right there on the spot. I don't care if you're sitting in a cafeteria somewhere eating, if you're at a hospital, or if you're just walking down the street. If somebody comes to you, it's because God already preordained that. There's no accident, people. I remember when I was young, 16 years old, I lived with my sister for a while down in outside of Houston, Texas. A few years before that, there was a hurricane come through, and probably a lot of you heard of it, Katrina. Done massive damage. They're still trying to unclean from that. And it wasn't long after that, there's another, and they call it a storm of the century. A storm of 100 years. And by the way, the Apostle Paul, when he's talking to his church, he said we need to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time they slip. If you get anything out of my message today, give God the glory. I'm uneducated. I didn't go to the seminary, hardly made it to high school. But I got 50 years in neology. I prayed and begged God to do the work. You see these speakers up here?
You heard anything? Because there ain't nothing going in it.
If you hear anything coming out of me, it's because my Lord and Savior gave it to me. The Bible said the wicked and all nations that forgot God will be turned into hell. Can you imagine that total separation? It's just something that my mind can't even imagine. You know, a lot, wife looked around, I bet she was thinking, now wait a minute, I've got cousins and nieces and nephews back there that wouldn't listen. Well, when Noah began to work on the ark, his son-in-laws mocked him and made fun of him. They said, Noah, you done lost it. You know it's not rained here. They got their water from the different places, from springs out of the ground, I believe. And so they mocked him and laughed at him. But you know what? Noah knew what God told him. You that are sitting here today, God's telling you something. You know, the Bible said the message is meant for the congregation present. Someone said, well, preacher, I think if so-and-so had been here, that would have helped them. Take it to them. Take it to them. The Bible said, go to the highways and hedges and preach to them and tell them before it's everlasting too late. This might be the last service some of you sitting here might get. So when you leave and go your own ways, take the message with you. God's trying to warn people to wake up. It's getting close to closing time. You know, when Noah began to work on the ark day in and day out, could you imagine that? You know, I begin to think about the wood and stuff that they used to build that ark. Where that ark was built, that wood didn't come from that area. It wasn't even close to it. It was miles and miles away. They had to lug this wood to build that ark, him and his family, and being mocked at and laughed at. I guarantee you, some of you right now that's lived for the Lord have tried to talk to people and you've got laughed at. You've got mocked. They've told you you're stupid. Jesus said, if you suffer with me, you'll also reign with me. I remember when I first got saved, I worked at Chrysler with some of the people sitting here, some of your relatives I worked with. I thought everybody wanted to know about the Lord. At break time, I'd be up and down the aisle, passing out tracts, talking to people, telling them how great it was to be a child of God. I remember I come to this one old boy, and I said, Jesus loves you and wants to save you. I said, that's your only way to get to heaven. He said, wait a minute, fella. You see this ring I got on? That's going to get me to heaven. Lord, have mercy on him. It was a Mason ring. And I believe they're good Christian Masons. But when you tell me this ring's going to get you to heaven, then you're saying Jesus' blood's not no good. Anyway, this storm down in Texas began to raise up, and there was a lot of updates come on this storm coming in. It got stronger and stronger. And they had it on TV and radio, this prepared for this storm. It's the storm of the century. Every day it got stronger and stronger. And they said to give information, ways you could get out of town, different places, shelters set up inward. So my sister's home was between Galveston and Houston, right dead in line with the way this hurricane was coming. And the information every day when they was telling them, they would beg them, and the police was even going around knocking on doors saying, you need to get on inland, you need to evacuate, and people still wouldn't take heed to the warning. How many times have you tried to tell people that Jesus is coming and people won't heed your warning? I've got all my life, preacher. I've got plenty of time. That's what I used to believe too. I was born and raised in a Lutheran church, and I never heard the word saved. I didn't even know. I thought it was just for holy rollers. I thought, well, you got good in one hand and bad in the other hand, and whichever one's the fullest, that God's going to let you go to heaven. I didn't realize my righteousness was as a filthy rag, because I was never taught that. That day I went to church and I heard a warning from heaven. And the man of God preached a lot of I'm preaching today. Get on board that ark before it's everlasting too late. The storm grew closer, and police went out knocking on doors, warning the older people that didn't know. And the winds began to pick up down there 150 mile an hour. And the police was going through the neighborhood with loudspeakers on their cars, evacuate now while it's chance. Despite all these warnings and all these attempts to get people ready to move, some still stayed there. They wouldn't leave because they was afraid the looters would come in and take their stuff. You know, the Bible said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul in hell?
That's right.
Sometimes we get wrapped up on our worldly possessions, and there's nothing wrong with having possessions as long as your possessions don't possess you. And so they begin to tell them, leave while there's a chance. Some wouldn't leave. This storm came inland and it wiped out a lot. A few days after it went on by, the police went around to the neighborhoods that they warned people. Some of the homes was gone. Some of them was tore completely down and off the foundation. And those people couldn't be found nowhere. You see, their possessions meant so much to them, they would rather die than to move. You know, they was even talks down in Houston where they was going to arrest people unless they moved, but they didn't. They didn't take heed to the warnings. You're here today, and you know, we got warnings on everything in our lives. You open up and you got medicines and different things, and there's warnings on it. Don't let children get a hold of this. You got rat poison. It said, don't let nobody eat this. It'll kill you. And you know, I had a friend that's gone. He used to sit in a bar, and they'd give him a shot glass with whiskey. He'd hit that shot, and then he'd eat the glass. He's not around anymore. I think the glass won. But you see, there's warnings, people. Every one of us today's got warnings in our lives. And so we need to take heed before it's everlasting too late. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Lord comes back. Noah preached for 120 years. Can you imagine that? Hearing the same message for 120 years and still laughing about it? Well, I heard that all my life, preacher. I don't agree with that. It don't bother me a bit. It don't bother you until that day comes. Well, preacher, I was born and raised in church. I believe I'm all right. Well, you could have been born and raised in a garage. That wouldn't make you a car. God's word told us that Noah worked and slaved to build that ark. My wife went down to Kentucky. Was it Kentucky where the ark is? Where there's an ark that a guy built. And it's humongous. And it's supposed to be the same size that Noah built. You know, I always thought, well, Noah had to go out and round up the animals. But the Bible said God sent the animals in. God brought them into the ark. All that time, 40 days and 40 nights it rained, poured down. I can see the people in those days that wouldn't listen to Noah, wouldn't come aboard. You know, when all these things happened and all the animals was aboard that ark, God shut the door. You see, there's a time coming when God's going to shut the door, and no matter how much crying and begging you do, it'll be too late. Jesus said, today is the day, and now is the accepted time. If God's speaking to you in any way during this message, if you feel a need to talk to God, now's the time to do it. Well, people will make fun of me, preacher. They'll laugh at me. I tell you what, the only ones laughing is the one that's going to go to hell one day after a while, and that's the devil himself. You know, God sent messengers to warn you, and the devil sends his messengers too. God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of this tree, for in the day that you do, you shall surely die. And the old devil comes along and said, no, that ain't what he meant. You won't surely die. Listen to me, when God says it, it's going to happen, brothers and sisters. Paul told the church at Ephesus, and I believe we got a good pastor today that feeds the flock. And my message and his message will never be the same, because his message is to feed the flock. My message is evangelism. It's to try to teach people and to try to win people to the Lord through God's word. But Paul said, feed that flock. Because in the last days, grievous wolves will come and try to scatter the flock. Brother, that's the ones that stand out here and tell you, well, you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I made that statement when I wasn't living right for the Lord. Let me tell you what. God said, forsake not the assembling yourselves together. We come together today to exalt one another, to build one another up so we can go out into the world and win the loss.
That's right, brother. That's right.
I had people when I was in my band, we played some places, and I had a Christian come to me, and she said, I don't see how you can go to them places like that. I said, Jesus said, go into all the world. You know, when he was preaching, they come to him and said, you're a wine bibbler. You're a friend of sinners. But let me tell you, church, sinners is not going to come to you. You got to go to them. When I got saved, salvation was the last thing I wanted on my mind. I told this before, and I'm going to tell it again. We was in Sister Gail's mom's backyard playing basketball, me and all my goony friends, and we was having a great time. And then my brother pulled up, and I said, oh, boy, going to have to listen to the Holy Roller today. And he began to talk, and I tried to ignore him. And he made one statement, and he said, Dale, if you come to church with me one time, I won't never ask you again. I looked, I thought, boy, I don't have to be embarrassed in front of my friends. You know why I was embarrassed? Because I wasn't living right. You know, the world will make you feel shameful. The Bible said it'll eat you to the marrow of the bone. And so I did, and God took care of the rest. And he'll do it too. If you get a hold of people and you talk to them, you know, we need to pray a prayer of, God, give me a burden for somebody that's lost. And when you see that person's face, you need to pray for them day and night. I don't care where you're at. Every time you go to prayer, you need to lift them up in prayer. Somebody here today, God's speaking to you. I don't know why this message is this way, but God does. He told us to warn them. He gave us the signs. He told us what would happen in the last days. And I believe with all my heart, these scientists is monitoring this great meteor. And people in Congress and all over are trying to figure out a way to try to detour this big meteor, to get it off the path of the planet Earth. Now, I don't know if they're planning on sending something up, trying to make it explode or what. But you know, when God sends his judgment to us, I don't care what man tries to do, it's not going to change a thing. It's going to happen today, people, and we need to be about the Father's business. We need to be praying and begging people to come to the Lord before it's everlasting too late. Some of you sitting right now could be the one to win my family to the Lord. The Bible said a prophet's without honor in his own country. The hardest people I have to talk to is my family, my nieces and nephews, my wife's family. As far as I know, she's got three boys that don't know the Lord. One of them is a college professor. What's that stuff he does? Philosophy. See. He's got a reason for everything that happens. And I do too, because Jesus come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He died on Calvary's cross. You know, I studied up a lot about how they butchered my Jesus. And as a brother read in Sunday school today, the Old Testament talked about it long before Jesus came. He said, I give my back to my cheeks to the ones that pluck my beard. You know what the word pluck means? It means to literally rip it from your face. I don't know how long Jesus' beard was, but I know his face was bloody after. You know, the Romans, they knew the way to make people suffer the most, and then they'd let you take a break for a while, and then they'd go back and do it again. He said, I give my back to the smiters. They would take a cat of nine tails, that's a whip with nine lashes in it, with hunks of metal in each lash, and they would beat his back till the blood ripped the flesh clear off and the bones popped through. And he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. He left the glory of heaven, brother, to face this awful thing that... And he come down because he knew if he didn't, we didn't have a prayer today. I heard a preacher preach one time. He said, if Jesus be risen, nothing else matters. But if Jesus is not risen, nothing else matters. We're all hell bound if Jesus didn't rise. But praise the Lord, that third day when Mary went to the tomb, Jesus wasn't there. And she looked around and she thought the gardener was there. Well, she had that pretty well right, because Jesus planted a garden in the beginning, the Garden of Eden. And she said, if you know where they did with my Jesus, tell me so I can be. That tells me when Jesus arose from the dead, he was no longer beaten. He was no longer bloody. He had a new glorified body. And she didn't even recognize him. And he said, Mary. And just as soon as Jesus said that, Mary turned and said, my Lord and my God. You know what Jesus said? My sheep know my voice. And the voice of a stranger they will not follow. So today I ask you to please, please try to win the lost before it's everlasting too late. How many believe we're in the last days? Look at society all around you. Look at everything that's going on. He said in the last days, good would be evil and evil would be good. There's things on TV now that when I was a young man, they wouldn't even allow to be showed on TV. You got these hairy-chested he-men walking around half naked, showing all their muscles. I used to be a hairy-chested he-man. Well, I tried to be. I had three hairs on my chest. Well, actually two. One was a split end, but I counted it as two. But you know what? When you think you're something, take heed lest you fall. And I know through the Word of God that morning, that Sunday morning when I went to church, and the man of God began to preach, and my feet felt like they was on fire, because I knew I wasn't ready to meet the Lord if he called me. I've had some friends of mine that was left this world unsaved. They're in God's hands, and it's up to God one way or another. But I never heard them profess they know Jesus and the free pardon of sin. So today it's our job as a church. He said, church, go ye therefore into all the world. Not just the pastor, not just the preacher, not just the deacons and the teachers. He said, church, go into all the world. Tell them about me. Let the world know that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when Jesus says, come up hither? And we all rise in a moment in the twinkle of an eye. I've said this before. I'm scared to death of height. That's why I'm glad it's only going to take a split second to get to heaven. Because if I turn and look back, I'd be kind of worried. Lot's wife looked back and she turned hard. And I believe she had loved ones that she wanted to go with her, but they laughed and mocked just like they did in Noah's time. But when God put Noah in the ark and he shut the door, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. I believe those people was heading to the high places, hauling their children up into the mountains and trying to hold them up. And I believe it was some of them hanging on the side of the ark saying, Noah, let us in. Noah had no power to open that door. You see, God's the one that shuts the door, people. And so today, I ask you to bow your head with me in a word of prayer. If you're here today and this message has spoke to you in any way, if God's talking to you and you need prayer, maybe you're saved, maybe you're just a little cold and you're not like you should be with the Lord. He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. You know, sometimes we drift away and we don't realize it. So if God has spoke to you in this message, if God showed you something, if God's telling you to do something, you know, this is an altar up here because this is what they dedicate to. Don't be ashamed to come up here and pray. I wonder right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, the church praying, is there one here say, Pastor Dale, would you pray for me? I want to get closer to the Lord. I want to be where I need to be. Would you raise your hand? This won't save you. This won't do anything for me or you until you make that move. Is there one would raise her hand and say, Pastor Dale, would you pray for me? Thank God for that hand. Thank God for them hands. God knows your heart. God knows all about your position today. He knows how you stand. And he wants you to make that move. There was a guy one time said, I walked about 1,000 miles away from God. But he said, it only took one step to get back. Jesus is waiting for you today. Those that raise your hand, I wonder if you'd come up to the altar and pray with me and Pastor James. We want to pray for you. Time's running out, people. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you. People will laugh and people will make fun. We're here today to pray with you. We're here to try to help you get close to the Lord. Would you come right now as a singer, sing a song? Thank God for the music today, too. It's really been touching, and God's working. Those that's here today, if you need prayer, would you come? Pastor James will pray for you right now. Pastor James.